committed to learning from Him and becoming like Him and changed by Him. And then not only that, we are also those who have been filled with His Spirit. Jesus told His disciples that it would be better for them that He go and be with the Father, because then He would send the Helper. He told them that they would actually do the works that He is doing, and even greater works than these will they do. And so if you or I as the church are going to do greater things than what Jesus did, then it means that we must be able to be filled or empowered with something far greater than ourselves. Amen? And so that is what we began to look at. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit and began to ask the question, who is the Holy Spirit? It's not a force, it's not an it, it's not like the Star Wars where you wield some sort of force. No, it is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, it is a who, and it is a relationship now that we enter into. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Last week we looked at that the Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. We looked at in John 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus ultimately says things like, I'm going to send the Helper, or those who obey and follow the Lord and love the Lord, that He says that the Father and I will come and manifest ourselves in Him. You hear Jesus, even as He's talking about the Holy Spirit, He is saying, I will come to you, or my Father and I, we will come to you. It is this, almost you even hear Jesus describing the Holy Spirit as God. And so, it is important then that we understand that. He is a person. He prays for us. He has emotions. He's all-powerful, present everywhere, all-knowing, and this is who Jesus says would come and dwell in us. And so, today, as we continue to look at the Holy Spirit, we're going to seek to answer, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? And specifically, we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the spiritual gifts. And now, just in regards to time, and there's no way that this could be exhaustive in our study today. We will not even have time to look at every single one of them and how those are played out, but more so look at who receives the gifts, what kind of gifts are they, what are they meant to do, and so we will dive in. If you are capable and able and do not mind just standing with me, just in honor of God's word, we will read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are various varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Father, we thank You for this morning, and we just want to boldly state that we are dependent upon You. We need You. We ask that You would come amongst us. Open our eyes to see, convict our hearts, help us to understand how it is You want us to be empowered, how it is You want us to live and function and walk and abide in You. So lead us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Now, there is so much talk and even misunderstanding and sometimes even fear when someone starts to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And so today I want us to maybe start off and just talk about what these gifts are not. The first thing I want you to see is that these gifts or spiritual gifts are not just for the select few. There's not some sort of elite, SEAL Team 6 Christians out there that get the spiritual gifts. These are given each person, if you will, to those who are trust and follow the Lord. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they are given gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are not a natural abilities. Some of you in this room are very gifted with many different things. Some of you can sing really well. You can maybe dance, or maybe you're good with numbers. These are like natural abilities things. And so we're not talking about some of the things that are just natural abilities. We're talking about the things that are empowered by the Spirit of God. It's not an indication of spiritual maturity. And this is taken all the time with so many different things. Sometimes even certain gifts are lifted up, or there are some denominations, and it is, I know that all of us come from so many different backgrounds, and there are so many, the diversity that we have within our church, I love and cherish. But sometimes there are some who lift up certain experiences and would even say that you're less than or not fully unless you experience a certain one. And I just want to say, each of us are different. And that diversity is beautiful. And I think that it is to be cherished. And we'll unpack that some more as we go. It is not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit that should be exemplified by every believer within the church. I don't have to pray for more patience. I don't have to pray for joy or even self-control. These things are a fruit of the Spirit that should be there. Now, these things do require faith and will cause me to trust in the Lord in these moments. They should be a fruit, though, that is naturally there. And that's easier said than lived out, right? But it is something that is placed in us. So, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are all a part of the Spirit that is within us. And so if on a regular basis those things are not a part of your life, then you can start to try to discern, why is that? Why is the Spirit that is in me not being lived out in my life on a day-to-day basis? And then last thing I want us to just look at what it's not. It's not something to fear. We don't have to fear the Spirit work around us. There is and can be manipulation or even emotionalism that can happen. And sometimes these experiences, as I mentioned a while ago, can be elevated. And sometimes because of that elevation of certain experiences, sometimes it's even easy that they can be manipulated or sometimes faked. And so what I'm saying is that when we talk about what the Spirit of God is doing amongst us, it is to be celebrated, yes. But one of the things we see about the Spirit of God is it always brings glory to God, not man. And so if someone is somehow saying, come to me because I have this elite gift of God, then I want you to always be cautioned. And raise caution in that. Same with prophecy. We all the times, you can go to YouTube or online videos all the time, and there's some sort of new prophet coming up saying certain things. And we are told in Scripture how to discern if they are a real prophet of God. It's because they will always bring glory to God. They will always speak the Word of God. And when they say something, it will come true. And if it doesn't, we should always count them as a false prophet, right? And so, all I'm saying is that we live in this world who wants to elevate or wants to even be elevated. And so, if they're just trying to get views or clicks, then we've got to at the very least, ask the question: should I take this person and listen to their word? Francis Chan, I mentioned his book last week of Forgotten God. He uses an illustration, and he says, you know, let's just say that I bought a treadmill to lose weight. And after several months, I took it back to the store and told the guy, hey, I'm returning this treadmill. And he would ask, so is there something wrong with the treadmill? And he would say, well, I don't know. I never used it. But I can tell you one thing. I didn't lose 1 pound, right? That sounds kind of foolish. But if we just plug in some different facts within that illustration, then we can use it. So think about this. Sometimes we can say, well, I prayed that God would take this away from me, but he never did, right? Or I prayed that I would no longer fall into lust, but I still have this addiction. Or, you know, I can say these things, but what I want you to know is that when God gives us these promises, he is going to require us to be active participants within what he has called us to do. And what I mean by that is I can just say, hey, I did this, or I prayed for this ability to forgive, but sometimes it is just the faith step of saying, God, I believe you and your way so much that I'm going to trust you. And you step in faith to do that. There are principles that as we have this relationship with God, he's going to show us and open our eyes to these to new things. And when he does, it's a new way of thinking. And so therefore, I'm not going to run after what promises something that it can't uphold, but instead, I'm going to live for what God has said that he will do. Does that make sense? So in other words, I'm not just going to do, well, I prayed for that, and he didn't supernaturally take those things away. Instead, just like buying a treadmill, and I never lost weight, but instead, I am going to trust the very promise of God. He promises that if I will trust him, he will give me strength each step of the way. So I take that step. Lord, I trust you. You don't want this in my life, so I trust you. And so then when I'm tempted with it, I run to him, and I say, will you show me? Will you give me wisdom? And he gives us clear steps, but not only clear steps, but even the strength to make that step. And that's the part of faith that it will require. We need Jesus, and we need him in our day-to-day lives. And it's not just, hey, what is your will for my life, or what am I going to do when I grow up? They just said I had a birthday today, right? So another year has gone by, and so I don't have to ask, what am I going to do one day? What is your will for my life? But instead, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do in this situation? This has just happened to me. Now what? Right? So it's a moment by moment, day by day, abiding in, realizing, and knowing that he has a step for me. And sometimes it's going to be really hard. And it's definitely going to be against culture. But he's going to give me the strength to make it. And he's going to be right there to help me along. So, what are some of the spiritual gifts? Here we read some of them. But I want you to know, in Acts, we read Acts 1:8 a while ago, that when the Spirit comes, you'll have this power, right? And you'll be my witnesses. And so, when my dad, so growing up, I always worked with my dad during the summer, at least when I was old enough to do so. And my dad was a concrete finisher, but then he became a superintendent, and so he ran the whole jobs. And so in the mornings, the first thing he would do is he would start telling guys what they needed to go work on. And let's just say one morning we came, and he's telling me what to do. And he says, okay, Chad, I want you to go over there and put those big, just pile of torn up concrete. I want you to go put them in the dumpster, and I want you to use that. And he just points, and I look over and I see a sledgehammer, and I just assume that's what he wants me to do. So I put on my gloves and I go over and I start beating these big boulders up small enough so I can get them into the dumpster. You guys tracking? So I'm doing that, and man, first thing I notice is hot. This sledgehammer is no fun. And so now I'm starting to get frustrated. Like, I'm working hard, and this is going to take not only all day, but probably all week. But just then, as soon as I get to this level of frustration, they're like, man, he could have had me go sweep floors or something, but instead he hollers at me, and he says, Chad, I told you to use that. And he points, and I look, and there's this skid steer sitting there, right? This piece of equipment that literally will do this in minutes. So I hop in, I do what he wants me to do, and I go on to the next thing. But so many times, this is what we look at our Christian walks. We assume and even will give God answers for what we think he wants us to do. We'll put on our gloves, we'll pick up our sledge and we'll start, we're working hard, we're doing a lot, right? And then we start to even get frustrated with all that we're doing. And then when things don't line up to what we want them to do, we even get mad and we'll turn to God and say, God, why do you want me to do this? This is horrible. When the whole time, I think that if we would just allow God to lead us, He'll be the superintendent or the boss of our lives, and He'll point us to do things not only in a way that is productive, but in a way that is effective. And so, today, this is what I want to challenge us with. Lord, here we are. I believe that you're here, and as a follower of Christ, if you've already surrendered your life, I believe you want to be filled with the Spirit. I believe that you want to be empowered from on high. But in that, I think that we need to understand it's going to be God's way and in God's timing to do what God's plan is, because His plan is better than ours. Amen? All right. So let's jump in. So Romans 12, 6 through 8, I want you to look at it real quick. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, and the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Use your gift. When God has given you a gift, use it. Use it in the way that He has intended and do so with great joy. This is what I've found. When I trust the Lord and do things according to His plan and for His way, then I get the greatest joy. Like, there is nothing in this world that I've experienced yet that compares to just stepping back and saying, wow, God just allowed me to be a part of something that He was doing. And I so desire that in every aspect of life. Look at verse 7 of chapter 12 with me. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So the first thing I want us to see is each one of us will get a gift from the Lord. Now, I think it can be any number of gifts. It's not always just one. Sometimes these gifts can come in just a moment of time. Like, there's been times where the Lord has just done something that I was like, I have no idea. That's never happened to me before. But in that moment, in that situation, the Lord just did something that could only be explained by Him. And so it could be in just in a moment of time. It could be a season of time. Or there could be a gift that the Lord just gives to you, and you just live your life in the midst of that gift. And so, I think it's important. But here what we see in verse 7 is that it says, for the common good. Over and over, this is what we see, is that the Spirit brings glory to God, but He has chosen to do so through the church. Amen? And so, each one of us, as we're living in the midst of the way in which the Spirit has gifted us, it edifies and lifts up one another. And as we lift up one another, then we start to be encouraged and challenged or developed. Or even as I told us that, yes, the Spirit brings unity, but there is diversity. And that diversity is beautiful. But what it does is it starts to bring some tension, because your gift is different than my gift. And when there's that tension, sometimes we can be scared or worried about that tension, but I think it's even more beautiful when it challenges us. Because now we ask questions or try to understand maybe what someone's gift is and how that is lived out. And we are given many pictures or even guardrails, if you will, within the church and how these gifts are used. But the thing is each time it's to glorify God and it's to edify the church. It's never to bring attention to one person. It's always for the good, for the common good. So, how beautiful would it be if each time we come together, you come not just to receive, but you come to live out and to exercise the giftedness in which God has given you. And so for some of you, maybe it is a word of wisdom, that you come and in small group, you're sitting there and the Lord lays someone upon your heart and you're able to just give them wisdom and encourage them. What if someone And I think that there are many of you who are sitting in small groups right now, but you actually have the gift of teaching. But for whatever reason, maybe you're fearful or worried or just don't think you know enough, you're not exercising that. And man, I just want to tell you that trusting, if he calls you to serve in a certain way, trust him. You're going to learn more doing that than you ever would just sitting and listening anyway. And so trusting. Here's a list of some of the gifts. These are most of them. I may miss a couple of them. Apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, teacher, miracles, serving, healings, helps, tongues, administration or leadership, faith, interpretation of tongues, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, distinguishing between spirits, evangelism, encouraging, contributing, or giving. Some of us just, God has gifted us with the ability to be able to give. Man, what an awesome ability to be able to give according to what the Lord and how he directs. Leadership, mercy, intercession. Some of us, we are dependent upon God amongst us, so some of you just have this gift to intercede on others' behalf. I am so encouraged often when I just receive that someone has been praying for me. I need it. I know that I need it. And so what a gift that someone gives me by going to the throne on my behalf. What a great gift. We have to realize, though, that the Spirit is right here with us. And being right here with us, he is leading us to impact this world. And so, again, this diversity amongst us is beautiful. And I believe that the best way that you and I can experience the very power of the Spirit amongst us is when we are each walking and living in the giftedness that God has given us. And so, what does this look like? Sometimes, and some of you will voice these, sometimes the Lord will lay a ministry or lay something upon your heart, and it's based upon the way that God has gifted you. And so you'll come to me, you're like, well, hey, Chad, how come we don't have a ministry to this or for this or in this situation? And I just want to ask a question. What if the Lord has laid that upon your heart because he wants you to do that ministry right there? Think about it. But so often, we don't think of it that way. We're like, surely the elites need to be the ones who do this, right? I just had the idea. Don't put that upon me. No. Because this is how the Spirit works. Sometimes you can be frustrated. Hey, we don't have anything or someone doing this. And the Spirit has laid that upon your heart because he may be desiring you to either start something or maybe even lead others toward doing just that. All for the glory of God, for the sake of the gospel, that people would come to know him. Man, or in just building and encouraging the church, here is something that we can be looking for. So as the Lord lays something upon our heart, or maybe continually there's been something upon your heart, how come the church isn't doing this? How come no one, these people are forgotten? Maybe, just maybe, the Lord has laid that upon your heart for a reason. Trusting, be obedient to what he has called you to do. Real quick, how do you discover your gifts? This is a question that is asked often, and I think the first thing, you ask God to show you. Dive into the Word of God. Begin to study what some of the gifts are, and the Lord will lay those, will maybe lay one up higher than the other. Take a spiritual gift test. Sometimes the questions on those are weird because it's like, agree, disagree, strongly agree, strongly, you know, those are kind of hard to take. But it may be helpful, at least a tool that can be used for you to help identify the gift that God has given you. But here's what I want to challenge you to. We are all called to be obedient to how the Spirit leads. And so if you want to know what your gift is, when the Spirit leads you to do something, do it. And what you'll find is that there is one that begins as you're obedient. I find that I'm in these situations often. The Spirit usually continues to lead me in this way. Sometimes we can ask the people closest to us, hey, what is the gift that you see in me? Sometimes it's beautiful. Different discipleship groups that I've been in, I've asked that question. We've done that for everyone in the group. And, man, it's always affirming when other people see what I think my gift is, and they see that. As we talk about these spiritual gifts, though, there is an ultimate gift, and that's the gift that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. You see, the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, we can know him, We can walk with him. We have the Spirit that he places in us, and then he leads us. And the Spirit will always lead us to be like Jesus. And so we can discern and walk and know and trust him. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You and I, we've been given the Spirit of God. Let us serve one another. Let us walk in that. Let us come on Sunday mornings looking for how we can encourage or strengthen or build up or be used by him so that when we do, he is honored and he is lifted up. In the way of application, I have just a couple of things and we'll be done. What are your spiritual gifts? Do you know? And if you know, how are you walking in it currently right now? Some of you have a spiritual gift, you know it, but you, for whatever reason, you're not being obedient. Trust him. There are so many areas in our church that you can serve right now and live out the gifts that God has given you. Will you commit to finding out what your gifts are? Maybe for you, you're like, well, I think that it is, but I don't really know. Maybe a great starting place would just be to go down this path of how, what is my gift? How can I find it? And that's a great place to start. Ask God how you can start using your gifts. If you know your gift or once you find it, maybe you would just ask him, Lord, show me. What ministry, area of ministry can I serve? How can I live out this gift among my family or among my job site, among my coworkers? And then today, maybe the Lord is leading you to surrender your life to him. When we talk about being filled with your Spirit, maybe for you, you're like, I have no idea what that is, or even if I am. But I do want to know Jesus. I do want to be forgiven of my sin. I do want to have his power and his strength to do the things that he has called me to do. And I want to challenge you right now. Call to him. You see, we are all sinners. And we have sinned against God. And the wages of that sin is death. But we have a God who so loves us that he sent Jesus to come and to die in our place. Someone had to die. The wages of your sin is death. Someone had to pay that price. And Jesus came and paid your price upon the cross. And he tells us that if we would believe in him, that we'd be forgiven, we'd be set free. We'd be recipients of his Spirit, and that he would lead us to live the life that he has called us to live. Would you trust him today? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we want to thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone to be with the Father and sent us, the Helper, your Spirit, at work right now amongst us, convicting our hearts, showing us of your plan and your will. Lead us. Empower us. Some of us, help us to lay down the sledgehammer and trust you and be obedient to you. Help us to be productive and effective, and that we know that we are completely dependent upon you for that. For some, Lord, I pray that today we would completely surrender our lives, believe, put our faith and our trust in Jesus and what he has done, and follow you. And so, God, lead us. Speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord. We need you. So, God, as we lift you up, help us to bring you glory and honor in everything that we say and everything that we do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.